Thank you, Daniel, for that moving reading. That passage I picked because the passage starts out in a very bad space, but as you get towards the end, it's a reminder of God's covenantal love and presence with us wherever we go. And I chose that passage to remind us how far God's brought us in this new year. It's been a kind of crazy year with all the stuff going on, and it ended really well. So that's kind of what I was capturing. So your emotion did a really great job there. All right, so our sermon text is Philippians 1, 3 through 11. And before I read God's word, let us go before him in prayer. Oh Lord, as we come into your presence today and think about this past year in a recap mode, help us to recognize that you are the first one who began a good work in us and will bring it to completion at the end. That's true for us as individuals, and it's also true for us as a church body. Help us to think well about the year of 2024 and challenge us through the power of your Spirit this morning for how we can walk deeper with you in the new year of 2025. Lord, may we know that you are truly present with us this morning and you wish to speak to us. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. All right, Philippians 1, 3 through 11. I thank my God in all my remembrance of you, always in every prayer of mine, for you all making my prayer with joy, because of your partnership in the gospel from the first day until now. And I am sure of this, that he who began a good work in you will bring it to completion at the day of Jesus Christ. It is right for me to feel this way about you all, because I hold you in my heart. For you are all partakers with me of grace, both in my imprisonment and in the defense and confirmation of the gospel. For God is my witness, how I yearn for you all with the affection of Christ Jesus. And it is my prayer that your love may abound more and more, with knowledge and all discernment, so that you may approve what is excellent, and so be pure and blameless for the day of Christ, filled with the fruit of righteousness that comes through Jesus Christ, to the glory and praise of God. The word of the Lord. All right, so this morning marks my last sermon to you all in the year of 2024. And it's been a wonderful year witnessing God move in truly remarkable ways. And I've reminded you many times, but it's worth reminding you again. This year, we started out in this new space here. Our first service was Ruthie's memorial service in 2023 and Christmas Eve, but we really started in the new year. And I was looking through pictures this past year, and we have a lot of sick people today, so we have a lot of empty chairs. But it's actually pretty interesting, and I'm going to do this in the congregational meeting. I can lay out all the pictures that we've taken over the year as a family, and you can see all the new faces start to appear over the course of the year. And I always want to bring it to our attention, when we first came in this space at the beginning of the year, it wasn't a slam dunk that we would end the year well. It was kind of, we took a risk of faith, and we're doing another one going into the new year. So what I'd like us to do this morning is really think about 2024 and reflection. And here I'm really showing my 1980s credentials as a child. And if you like sitcoms or you watch, does Nick at Night still exist? I think the shows when I was growing up are now on Nick at Night. I used to watch them when I was a kid. And sitcoms always had this trick. When they needed to have a filler episode, what did they often do? They took highlights from the year, cut it, and put it into the episode. And back in the days where you have to wait for a new episode as a child, and you sat down and you're like, oh no, not that episode. I didn't wait all week to see this. I wanted to see something new. Well, that's kind of like what my sermon is like today. It's a filler sermon, but it's really designed to get us to think about the last year and think about spiritual New Year's resolutions going into 2025. All right, so over the past year, if you're paying attention, there is a certain kind of way I designed the sermons this year. This year, I designed it around catechesis, and if someone pay attention again, they could pick up on this. What were the two major series that we worked on both in the spring and in the fall? Well, in the spring, we worked on the Ten Commandments, and I walked through each 10 over the course of 10 weeks. In the fall, we worked through the Lord's Prayer. And what did we do in the Lord's Prayer series? We worked through the petitions each week, all six of them. And then I did the beginning and the end. Michael and I worked together on that one. Now, what you may have not realized is those two texts are the bedrock of Christian living in the Reformed tradition, in the creeds and catechisms, and Lutheran creeds and catechisms, and Anglican, and also the Catholic tradition in a small c. Throughout all 2,000 years, Christians learned the Lord's Prayer and the Ten Commandments. They committed them to memory. Children were expected to learn them, which they have here. And if you're an adult and you came forward as a baptismal candidate, you actually had to memorize them or you could not be baptized. So it's really interesting and worth bringing to our attention. So over the past year, you have been catechized from the pulpit, whether you knew it or not. So I chose to make an emphasis on this. And then going into the new year, we're going to focus on the Gospel of Mark, and it will probably take us most of 2025 to get through it. Now, another series, if you go all the way back to the beginning of the year that we worked through, was our mission statement, which is worship, walk, and serve. Maybe we need another series on that. I'm just kidding. Although we probably will the year after, so I'm already thinking about 2026. So what I'm trying to do this morning is come around full circle back to the beginning, and that was the conversation that we had in the new year. What does it mean as a church body to worship, walk, and serve the Lord? And what's interesting about this past year, to go back a few sentences before, is actually when we started to see growth as a congregation is when we finished that mission statement series, and then it concluded on Easter Sunday, and then we had that big bump in attendance on Easter Sunday, and a lot of new people showed up. So it's kind of showed that the sessions work to formulate for the Lord to come up with this mission statement and for us to communicate it to you. I think the Lord really blessed it. So what I'd like to do this morning, and this is going to, again, be kind of a snapshot of the year, is take our mission statement of worship, walk, and serve and bring it into conversation with Philippians 1:6, which in many ways is kind of like my life verse. This is one of my favorite verses in the whole entire Bible, which reads, "And I am sure of this, that he who began a good work in you will bring it to completion at the day of Jesus Christ." Now, that verse is really interesting because it puts an emphasis on both advents of our Lord, both his first advent, where he came, which we just celebrated on Tuesday night, and his second advent, which is yet to come in the future. Now, what's interesting about that verse is depending on where you are with your walk in the Lord, you're going to receive that verse differently. So, if you are kind of in a season of life where you're like, oh God, where are you? I'm in despair. I'm in lament. You're going to hear that verse, or you're not walking with the Lord like you should. You're going to receive 1:6 as kind of a judgment text. I'll just read it again. "I am sure of this, that he who began a good work in you will bring it to completion at the day of Jesus Christ." If you're not sure of where you're walking, you're going to hear that as, oh, the Lord's coming back. He's going to judge the living and the dead. Now, if you're in a season of walking with the Lord closely, I think that that verse hits a different tone. It hits the tone of joy that, of course, God is working in me. I'm walking with him. And there's going to be a day when I see the Lord face to face, and I'm going to see him just as he is. And everything that I know that's going to come true will, in fact, come true. It's just interesting. I'm going to pull that out because depending on where we are sometimes with the Lord, we receive God's word differently. That's what makes it so much fun. And you could read the same verse like 100 times sometimes, and you receive it differently. Does everybody have this experience? Yeah. So let's take that verse and work through our mission statement quickly. I should also state that this is going to be a shorter sermon too. so you guys can get out and get cookies and celebrate the new year. So first, we're going to start with worship. So we're actually in application already, and you said, hallelujah, this is a miracle. Pastor Douglas didn't spend 15 minutes on exposition. All right, so worship. The verse that really stuck out to me from our Ten Commandments series was commandment number 4, which is located in Exodus 28. Hopefully you've committed this to memory. It reads, remember the Sabbath day and keep it holy. Now, out of all the sermons I preached on the Ten Commandments, it was 10 weeks, that one I received the most feedback from, which is really interesting. Now, traditionally, commandment number 4 is a link between the so-called vertical commandments, our relationship between us as individuals and the Lord, and then it gives way to the horizontal commandments, which is how we interact with our neighbor. It kind of serves as a bridge. It's a bridge verse, basically. Now, whenever it comes to worshiping the Lord properly on Sabbath, it's important to notice that it's public worship that matters. And I think the reason why I got a lot of feedback about that sermon and that verse in particular is because we live in a space in life where you're not nudged to go to worship on Sunday. Actually, the whole world is telling you to kind of like hit your alarm clock, hit snooze, and just kind of be yourself, go out, get brunch, so forth and so on. I'm not going to lie, I was off this past week out of the office, and when I heard that alarm clock go off this morning, I was like, oh yeah, it's Sunday, I got to lead worship this Sunday. But the pastor can't hit the snooze button and not show up to preach a sermon. Session wouldn't be happy with me. So if we bring this into dialogue with a New Year's resolution, my first challenge as we think about the worship part would be to think about public worship. It's really important to prioritize public worship for the life of the Christian. It's not just about worshiping the Lord as individuals and being by ourselves, and though we live in a beautiful state and you can go anywhere in Idaho and see God's handiwork and nature, it sure doesn't beat worshiping with your brothers and sisters in Christ on Sunday morning as the gathered body. God ordains that as good, and we see that in the fourth commandment. Worship, or we could think of it this way, is the spiritual food that we need because it nourishes our soul. It's the way God has made the world. I think we neglect the importance of public worship at our own peril. And I'd even go so far as to say it's really hard to grow in holiness or walk with the Lord if we not only don't interact with the Lord in spirit and truth on Sunday, but we also don't interact with our brothers and sisters in Christ. And you can actually see this play itself out in the early church in Acts 2:42 through 47. And I'll always hear people over the years say, you know, we just need to go back to what the early... I've said this before, so many of you guys know I'm beating a dead horse here, so to speak. But people often say, Pastor, why don't we just go back to what the early church did? And I said, that's fine. So are you advocating for going to worship publicly 3 times a day? And then do I have to preach 27... I always do the math wrong. 21 sermons, I'm sorry, a week. And they say, well, of course not. And I say, well, that's how the early church did it. And what I try to do there is just push and say, there's assumptions that we bring to the Bible, and just because they did in the early church a certain way doesn't mean we have to. But at the bare minimum, right, let's make public worship a priority going into the year of 2025. Now, many of you who had perfect attendance this year are probably laughing, and you might have a Pharisee inside of you saying, "That great, the pastor's getting after people for recognizing that public worship matters," and not so fast, right? Our Lord often will come to people and he'll have them question their heart. Was their heart right in public worship in the right in the first place? Or were you just going through the motions? So what I would say to you as you think about prioritizing public worship going into the new year is be self-critical for yourself. It's amazing that the scriptures encourage us to walk in this virtue. It's not always pie in the sky in scripture, but it really confronts us, and we kind of see ourselves as we truly are. We want to state that we're not perfectionists, so I'm not going to give you like a token for perfect attendance in 2025, but make space to come to worship on Sunday and abide in God's presence in the fuller sense. I always state it this way, all right? When we see snapshots of what we're going to be doing for all of eternity, what are we doing or going to be doing? Worshiping, singing, dancing, praising. I look forward to having a glorified body because maybe then I can get some rhythm and start to dance in the age to come. I can't now. But I will say, if you don't like worship now, on Sunday mornings, I think you're going to be really disappointed in the age to come because it's going to be a lot of worshiping, a lot of singing, and we're going to be doing it for all of eternity. So ask the Lord to change your heart and to, as you come to worship in the new year, prepare your heart for that one day seeing the Lord face to face, all right? So that's challenge number one, all right, or a virtue that you can walk in. All right, number two is walk. So worship's the first one, walk is the second one. So out of worship comes the life of the Christian, which is to walk with the Lord. To follow the Lord is to walk with him. It's not to just do a bunch of stuff. Walking is a very organic picture. Walking is something that we often do with our loved ones or our spouse. Walking is what I do on the Greenbelt a lot. You can kill two birds at one stone. You can get spiritual nourishment, and you can also keep your body in shape too, so you don't get overweight, so to speak. So it's great. You can walk. You can be on your knees. But the one thing I want us to think about with the image of walking with the Lord is prayer. So in our Lord's Prayer series, we worked through our prayer lives. And I often think that our prayer life, or how much time that we spend with the Lord, reveals our intimacy with him as well. And often you can take an inventory and be self-reflective about this, and you can see quality time and quantity time actually go together. It's not one or the other. And sometimes, you know, you just got to stick to it and keep praying. Commit to 30 minutes and pray. If you can't sit still like myself, go walk and pray. And if you don't have words to say, just walk. Clear your mind out and be in the presence of the Lord. So that's praying. Another thing to really consider with walking with the Lord is scripture reading. Prayer is often driven by this. Our time in Holy Scripture. God's word is his very word. That's what the second Helvetic Confession says. It's a great line. Scripture is divine speech. God actually speaks to his people. 2 Timothy 3:16 says that. Often people will say, why doesn't God speak to me? And I say, he has. It's his word. Pick it up and read it. God will speak to you. It's just, is your heart in the right space to listen to and receive his word? So my question to you today, as we think about walking with the Lord, is how has your time in prayer and scripture been over the past year? Have you considered making a New Year's resolution of reading through the Bible over the course of the year? I'm looking around. Maybe I can get some smiles on that. Don't think of scripture reading and prayer as a spiritual chore. Rather, spending time with God, reading his divine speech, and communicating with him should be a delight of our heart. So what I'd like to do just quickly in challenging you with walking is consider reading the Bible through cover to cover in a year. I'm actually going to do that. I didn't do that this past year. I get really intensely into sermon prep and translation and whatnot, but I'm going to do it, just reading the text, committing to it. And if you want to commit to it with me, send me an email, a text, call me, and I'll do it with you. Or if you need a particular plan that's geared towards your particular personality, I can help you find a reading plan as well. There's so many out there, and I would really challenge you to do it this year. Now, there's other opportunities to walk with the Lord in the life of our church as well. So in February, we're going to have another Wednesday night class. We're going to be doing our study in the book through the Shorter Catechism on salvation. You guys pick that one. So Michael and I are going to be rotating every Wednesday night on that one. This past year, we had programs such as Alpha, which was great. with evangelism, and the children did their catechism as well. And my kids in particular have been asking me, when are we going to do catechism again? Because they loved it so much. And you can actually quiz them. They learned their catechism well, both my kids and the Combs kids. We have a vibrant women's group that meets on Saturday. So if you're looking for a group to walk deeper with the Lord, get involved with that group. We will continue to have opportunities to walk deeper with the Lord, not only as individuals in scripture reading and prayer, but also as a church body as well. Formation into Christ's image is not just something we do as isolated individuals by ourselves, but we do it in the context, in community with our brothers and sisters in Christ. All right, so that's walking. So consider making a New Year's resolution with that in that space. Number three is service. And I say service, not volunteer. I don't like the word volunteer in the church because volunteer implies that you're an individual that just gets to choose to do whatever you want. Do we get to choose whoever we serve in Christ's church? No. Jesus chooses who you get to serve. So servant is a better word that captures that. All right, so we serve because Christ first served us. And this comes up in Mark's gospel in chapter 10, verse 45. For even the Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve and give his life as a ransom for many. Those who worship the Lord and walk deeply with him are propelled to serve our neighbors. This is true for those in the context of this church and for those who are outside of our church. This year, we witnessed service in a lot of profound ways. We raised over $5,000 for the Boise Rescue Mission, so that was a really cool experience to see. We packed, I think, 140 boxes. Does somebody know the data on that? I think it was 140 boxes this year. Karen, was it about 140? Okay, awesome. And they went to Mexico, which we prayed for, so we tracked them last night, so that was cool. You serve the Lord in really profound ways, but as Christians should be self-critical and think about walking with the Lord in a deeper sense and serving our neighbor, there's always ways to improve too. So one big item that we need as a congregation, I think, as your pastor, is we need some people to step up and serve at the Boise Rescue Mission. They're a little bit younger. So pray for those people. Everybody's laughing. I didn't catch the joke. Well, I have it coming for praying for younger people, too. So that's a good New Year's resolution. So longer term, you know, let's keep praying that our church has gotten younger since I started. That's true. I have the pictures to back that up. What? Did you say only one person? No, I'm just kidding. But we have gotten younger. I have the pictures. But one thing that's been on my mind that I wanted to communicate to you all this morning is we, through the nominating process this year, realized that longer term, there needs to be a better transition from the generations that have been leading our church to a younger generation. And so as we get younger and we get newer people coming, which we should be praying for, also pray for a new generation of leaders to arise too. That's really, really important. So right now on session, it's myself and Alex, but longer term, there's really, really a need there. When we look down the pike 10, 20 years, we have a short bench, so pray for that. If you're like, I can't serve, maybe that's where I was getting the laughter from. My body's older, and I used to serve at the BRM, the Boise Rescue Mission, but I can't anymore. God gave you lips, right? Can you still talk? Yeah, and one of the ways that you can primarily serve really, really well is to commit to prayer. And there's a lot of things to always be praying for and be praying about the future. So you can pray for, we have a lot of sick people this morning, but for children and young adults to fill our empty seats, especially as we go into the new space. Pray for new elders and deacons. Pray that our children that are a part of our children's ministry don't not only grow up to go to church, which is great, and that's what we always pray for as leaders, but maybe we should have some ministers that come through our ranks too. Maybe what would be really cool is if we committed to praying right now that we have teaching elders come from all the little kids that you see every single week in worship. What if two or three or four of them became pastors? And that could be our gift to our broader denomination in the future. Big, audacious prayers, because we serve a big God, right? Those are the things that I'm thinking about. So if you're like, I can't get involved at the Boise Rescue Mission or do some of these other physical activities, God gave you lips, you can pray, and commit to praying. One thing that I'd challenge you about praying for in the new year is we saw a lot of what I would call recommitments to the Lord and his church this year. That was kind of the dominant paradigm in 2024. One thing we didn't see that I've been praying for in the last couple weeks is baptisms. Baptisms of both babies, to hear more babies crying as they get their invisible tattoo of baptism, and also adults as well. I would challenge you to commit to praying for that every single day, that we see more baptisms in the year of 2025. All right, so I challenge you in the coming days as we reflect on the year to make some New Year's resolutions, some spiritual ones, and bring them in the conversation with our simple mission statement, which is to worship, walk, and serve. I'm praying that 2025 be as fruitful as 2024 was. As I personally have been reflecting on this past year, and I'm almost about to finish 7 years of pastoral ministry here shortly. But it was the greatest year of ministry. I really was so happy with how 2024 went. We saw a lot of new faces come. This is my third building project I've worked on as a pastor, and this one is by far the most exciting. Starting out the year, I was kind of iffy, but I think it ended super well. And I just want to say what a privilege it was to be your pastor over this past year and see all the good fruit that the Lord brought. And who's the one that brought the fruit ultimately? Not us, but the Lord, and he receives all the glory. So I challenge you to continue to pray about our new space in the coming year. As we transition into that space, look for more opportunities to serve the Lord, his people, and our community. One area, again, to pray about is baptisms. I want to see a lot more baptisms in the new year, so pray for that. So let us pray. Lord, we thank you for the year of 2024 and all that it brought. As we spent many hours together as a congregation, worshiping you in spirit and in truth, as we spent many hours walking with you together as a church body, and finally, Lord, all the service that went to you, to your church, and our neighbors, both in this valley and throughout the world. I pray, Lord, that we would see much fruit in the year of 2025. Allow us to continue to pray about our new space that's coming in the coming months. I pray, Lord, that you would fill up all those seats with people that truly need a church that loves you and proclaims your gospel loud and proud. I pray, Lord, for baptisms in the new year, that we would see many new baptisms of both children and adults. And I pray, Lord, that we continue to see the steady stream of folks rededicating their lives to you. Lord, we thank you for this particular place that you placed us in here in Garden City to serve your valley. I pray that your spirit continues to persevere us in the new year, and that we continue to work out our salvation with fear and trembling. May we know that your presence is with us wherever we go. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.